Radio.com.
The following program contains adult situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
With your host, Tim Stein.
When 900 years old, you reach Ruggishford, you are not.
Mace.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Omega.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
They tell me I'm a sexual Jedi.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Joe.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar, Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't do dick shit. Suck it!
Another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. After a one-week break for an anime convention, I am back, and Tim is not. So now it is another two-man show. It is just me and Mace here to really cause some havoc because we're a bunch of geeks, and the old man's away!
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Starting it off, I am the Omega, the be-all, and all of our little network. And of course, as I said, we have Mace!
Yes, I am here, and for the first time ever, I believe we are using Twitch Player on our website, which makes me feel like I should be streaming a video game.
Ooh.
We've been using...
We got Borderlands, let's go, Omega, come on.
All right.
We've been using Twitch for about a week now.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, me and Mace were just, like, streaming, like, a wrestling game while we were doing this, and Tim had just no idea what the hell was going on?
We have to do that one week. We have a few weeks to play with now, because there's nothing going on.
Wait. No. Like, we just had a pay-per-view, so, like, isn't it time to preview the next one?
No, we got, like, 4 weeks.
What?
Yeah, 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's a 5-week build to a pay-per-view. Amazing.
There's no, like, NXT event, like, in the meantime.
No, all we got is that one live special from Japan. That's about it.
Oh my God!
What are you gonna do with yourself now that you don't have a pay per view?
Panic!
Oh wait! If you really, really want, we can cover Slammiversary next week.
Who's a lottery?
Exactly.
I'd rather talk about Brock Lesnar's last bowel surgery.
So in our opening segment of the show, we'll talk about that. Any doctors listening? Maybe they can help. Want to chime in? Anyway.
I don't really want to know. I don't.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay. So anyway, you mentioned you were at an anime convention last weekend.
Yeah, it's the summer, so as usual, I went off to MetroCon.
And well, tell the people about it.
Eighth consecutive year attending the convention. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time they were 4 days long.
Oh, man.
So, I
You know, I make my living off of my computer at home. I am a geek through and through.
No.
Now I have to run around a convention hall for 4 days straight. If anyone wants to know what death feels like...
You can now tell them.
Don't spend an entire year sitting on your ass at a computer. Go to Tampa, Florida in the dead of summer.
Well, technically...
Run your ass around a massive convention center for 4 days straight. Get about 4 hours of sleep per night in between.
Technically, it was the spring.
No. This is Florida, so it's summer.
Okay. I'll give you that.
No. Just like... The amount of unconscious I was just breathtaking.
Right.
It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
What did you do the entire time? What did you find out? Tell the people some things.
Things. Well, they let me interview voice actors. That was cool.
Ooh. Like who?
Scott McNeil, which is common. That's right. Just tradition at this point.
We know this one.
No, that one. You know. Nolan North, who's been in, like, everything. Mm-hmm. He's, like, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, some major games. Kane Kittens, are you listening? Are you listening? Because they let me sit in a room and interview Laura Bailey, who's, like, one of the most prolific voice actresses in the world. And this is the point where Brent is really annoyed at me because he's such a fanboy for her.
Yeah, somewhere he's listening going, I hate you, 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 I hate you.
That was really fun. That was probably my favorite interview. She's amazing to talk to, and she is one of us. She is, like, full geek. The convention itself was, like, exhausting but extremely cool. They added a ton of new events to fill out the extra day. They did a superhero stunt show where I got to see Spider-Man do parkour combat on stage, and... Both the in-suit Spider-Man and the offstage voice actor doing the whole thing sounded better than the movies. I just put up a preview with a little bit of that, actually.
Yes, I'm watching that now. Why does Mr. Satan have the world title?
Because it's a championship belt. Like, that's part of the costume.
Fair enough. Like, I'm now distracted because I'm watching this. I'm going like, ooh, cosplays. Ooh, Mechagodzilla. Ooh. She has fluffy wings. What the hell?
Yeah. I just posted a trailer up on YouTube. TJ Omega.
Oh, freaking Scott McNeil walking out in a puff of smoke like he's fucking God.
Mace is doing commentary.
Well, I'm watching it because I can't be bothered waiting until we're done with the show.
Yeah, the trailer is just very boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I know. And, wow, Spider-Man.
BattleBots.
I can see what you mean now.
Yeah. That was just a small sample. Like, it's really good.
So how long until Scott's interview is up?
Scott's I might actually wait on. I want to get Nolan's and Laura's out first.
Oh. Scott first. It's tradition, goddammit.
No, the Scott McNeil autograph signing is tradition. That's what always goes up first.
Then it's the interview.
Yeah,
and
then,
you got the fire show this year.
Yeah, I don't know what my camera was doing that whole time. It's not the best footage of it, but it works. It's a really cool show this year. Like, this is the first year I saw, like, actual stage combat while there was fire going on.
See, what you really need is, like...
there's your response, by the way. As King Kid tweet us, I will say, as many expected, I hate you for getting to do that interview. There, I said it. From King Kid. Continue on.
Yes, I think Omega needs an army of minions to cover MetroCon, especially if this 4-day thing is going to continue.
I'm trying to accumulate them. Like, the female now carries a camera around for the weekend.
As well as being the limo driver, from what I've heard.
She's the one who can handle driving distances. Whereas I tend to fall asleep when I'm not behind the wheel.
Fair enough, but considering you went to MetroCon and you got to be Mr. All Important, because we know they changed the layout based on your whims now.
I didn't get that confirmed. That's just speculation, because because the layout this year is exactly the way I said it should be.
Now, yes, coincidence, the Omega thinks not.
Now next year's theme is Order versus Chaos, and I'm lobbying hard for Kefka to appear on the Chaos side of things. And if that happens, then I truly have influence.
Good, then you can get the weekend booklet fixed.
Okay, I got a message from one of the owners after I posted that video. He said, thank you for pointing that out. We hadn't looked at it in years.
Now explain to the other people what I just mentioned.
Okay, so, actually, where is it? Hang on. So there's this program guide they give you every year, and it's very well done. Map, layout, all the special events, everything that's going on over the weekend, timed out, and everything. Part of what they do is they give you bios on all of the guests who are appearing. Because it's not just voice actors, it's cosplay guests, it's DJs, it's like local comedy groups and things like that. A lot of people coming in. So just to give you like a little like heads up on everything that's going on, they give you these bios in the little guide for all the guests they're in. And Scott McNeil has been going to MetroCon for 10 years. Been there a long time. So his bio is fairly large. However, they haven't exactly kept it up to date. So little excerpts from it. You know, most recently, Scott has been lending his voice talents to characters like Stork, the lovable neurotic Merb in Storehawks, Grumpy Bear in the newest Care Bears, and Wasabi in Sushi Pack. In the past 2 years, Scott has also contributed his voice to the characters in Aeon Kid. Aeon Kid was a cartoon that ended in 2008. So that was written in 2010, so that's the last time they apparently looked at this. And I went through this entire bio, and I picked out all the parts where it said, you know, currently be heard as Snarl and Backstop in Transformers Cybertron. Transformers Cybertron currently was 2006. So this year in my recap video, I just got a kick out of going through and just picking out errors in the bios. That was funny to me. Not like as a serious nitpick, but like actually like that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong.
You are being a typical nerd, sir.
No. I'm being really picky. By going through the bios. I'm being a nerd because I know when fucking Aeon Kid ended.
Eh, bit of both. Works into the same deal. But outside of MetroCon, because I know you're running around like a madman at one point ready to just pass out and die.
Uh-huh.
Did you happen to see that other convention that was getting coverage, that small thing over in L.A.?
The GoBot thing.
Yeah, the GoBot.
Yeah.
GoBots.
Yes. That was all like that was like everything that was taking that was this weekend. That just ended. No, wait. Convention in LA. What?
It was in LA.
No.
Was that one with all the video games?
E3.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, that one, yeah. That one I was getting updates on the whole weekend. I'm sorry, there's another convention that just ended this weekend. So there's a lot of conventions going on right now.
Too many conventions. We've got one coming up this upcoming weekend, which I will not be attending, even though it's got Bruce Campbell. I know, I'm having to miss out on Bruce Campbell only because this company that's producing this convention decides, oh yes, we're going to have 4 premium tiers of entry before the general admission tickets. Bruce Campbell's only going to be there for 1 day. And we're going to charge all up. It would cost about nearly $200 to get a photograph and autograph. Yeah, so my wallet said fuck that. And decided to go into hiding. So, but yes, anyway, E3 stuff. What did you think of, I don't know, there was games. Supposedly, a lot of them coming out in 2016.
Honestly, I was really underwhelmed. There wasn't much in E3 that really, like, piqued my interest. Except for, like, the dead obvious thing.
Fallout 4?
Yeah, Fallout 4, because I'm such a huge Fallout fan.
Well, there wasn't any Borderlands talk, so...
Yeah, there was no Borderlands... Yeah, I know. Waiting for Borderlands 3 now. No, the one game that piqued my interest was the Transformer game they announced. Because it's...
Yeah, they went under the radar on just about every website until they went, oh, here's a trailer.
Well, the preview screenshots went out. I'm like, oh, because it looks like a fucking comic book in stills.
Like a comic book in motion too.
Yeah, like the cel shading in that game is amazing. Like, it looks like you're playing the cartoon in three dimensions. It's awesome. And it's all G1. Fuck the movies.
Yeah, exactly. Transformers Devastation, I believe it's called.
Uh-huh.
And it's coming via Platinum Games and someone else. Platinum Games, the guys who made Bayonetta, you know they do combat right. And basically you run around as five Autobot characters.
Yep.
Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, of course.
Wheeljack, Sideswipe, and Grimlock.
Grimlock
should be fun. And, of course, there's that leaves amazing amounts of room for DLC. I will be a whore for. I'm not a DLC guy unless it's like Borderlands, but this, no. This I have to own. This everything.
I hope that they don't just lock it to just playing as the Autobots. I want Decepticon missions. And I want the culmination of that to be G1 Devastator.
The developer said that it was just going to be Autobots playable. So that's one of those things where even the original movie games were Autobot only to start with. And then the sequels were what let you start playing as the Decepticons. So it's leaving room to grow.
Yeah, true. And the other thing is, original voice cast returns.
Yes.
It's only probably one or two imitators for the unfortunates that have passed away.
Yeah. Well, I haven't actually heard it so far.
Well, nobody has. Because essentially what we got at E3 was, beta footage.
Well, I mean, as far as, voice casting goes, I haven't heard of anyone that's being... any character being included in the game for someone who's passed away. Obviously, Starscream is going to need a replacement, because Chris Lotto was one of the first to go.
Yeah, that was pretty much the main one I was thinking of, was Starscream. Because we know that Peter, once again, getting a paycheck for Optimus Prime, and Frank coming back as Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much Frank doing 90% of the voice cast anyway, because that's what he does.
Oh, well, yeah. They said he's going to do Soundwave, too, so that'll be nice to hear.
Yeah, considering it's not based on anything in particular, so, the story in it will be fresh. It's the first G1-based story we've had in nearly, two decades?
They actually did say it places itself between... season 2 and the original movie. It's it actually does fit in timeline.
Cool. Still meaning it's original content.
Uh-huh.
First new story in probably 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And also Dragon Ball's getting a new anime series, first time in nearly 2 decades. What the hell? I feel like we're in a time warp all of a sudden, because...
Jurassic Park is the number one movie, and there's a new Terminator coming out. What year is it?
Exactly, and at E3, what games did we get announced? Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy 7. We really are in a time warp. Xbox is putting out a collection of old school Rare games. We went backwards in time all of a sudden. To where, people are getting what they want in games. Last Guardian, Final Fantasy 7, Shenmue 3. Here, players, have them. Plus, we've also got new Tomb Raider, Call of Duty, etc., etc., etc.
Weird thing, did Shenmue 2 ever get a proper, dubbed release, or was it just subtitled? Because the only way I ever played it was imported with subs.
I think it did get a dub release. I think. Don't quote me on it, though. But to give you an idea, the Shenmue 3 Kickstarter, because that's what it was about. It's we don't even have a game yet, but we're getting a Kickstarter for it.
Mm.
Currently sitting at $3.5 million. Out of a $2 million goal.
Yeah. It's because we want to do a game, and that's about it.
Yeah.
The benefit is we know, the original producer, the original writer of the game, he's had this in his head ever since the Dreamcast went under. He pretty much had Shenmue out as, a three-game saga for the longest time. So at least there's that. At least this isn't just crapped out for the sake of doing it. It's actually, some basis in the original plans.
Yeah, I just picked up my notepad of doom from the... Because I covered all this for the entire time.
Okay. What do you think of Final Fantasy VII getting the remake they're finally making because Square realized they're bleeding money?
On one hand, I'm like, cool, it's something that I can enjoy. I enjoy it. I'm one of the few who still enjoy Final Fantasy VII and didn't just go, oh, it's a piece of crap because there's been other stuff since. I like the graphical upgrade, and I like the fact that they're going to alter and extend the story. Because that's the thing, we're not getting a straight one-for-one remake, we're getting...
Yeah, they said they're
added
said they're
extended portions to stuff that needed to be explained further from the original game.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they did say they are fleshing out the story, so there's new things to do, which I think is necessary in any remake. Like even the quick port they made of Final Fantasy VII Final Fantasy VI for the GBA had a bunch of cut content added back into the game, because you need new stuff to explore all the time.
Yeah. Plus, also, I think it was the same producer said that he wants to do other Final Fantasy games.
That's the only part about this news that made me happy.
Yeah. So if this remake works and people buy enough of it, Omega might be really, really happy and have to invest in a console to get a remake of Final Fantasy VI.
Because the producer actually did go out and say, hey, we've remade 1 through 4, and now we're remaking 7, and he actually, is offended that we've skipped 5 and 6. So he wants to do 5 and 6. And here's the thing. The whole reason they haven't remade all of those older ones in that style is because they never wanted to invest the money in the engine to create the old style of gameplay on a modern console. Well, everything from 4 to 9 pretty much runs on the same style of gameplay, so one engine could let you redo all of those games.
Yep, and again, if 7 works...
Which it will.
It's not full heads here.
Now, let's question Square Enix's integrity here. Because this is an image that's been floating around, I get a laugh out of it, but it's also one of those that makes me go, wait... That might happen, which is the Aeris Lives DLC.
She'll die, but yeah, an alternate extra story or something, either with her in the afterlife or something. Yeah, I can imagine that being DLC.
Well, literally, you pay $9.99 and you get a side quest that resurrects her. Number one, you destroy the game. Because the whole point of that game is her dying.
Yeah, it's one of the more poignant moments of video game history.
Keep in mind, the only thing she contributed to the plot before then was she was being chased by agents in a church, and you had to save her. She was captured by agents and flown to the big scary tower. You had to climb to save her. And when you finally get to her... there's a mad scientist trying to get a dog to rape her. So, they did everything they could in this game. Like, Aerith's story is basically, we're going to make you feel really awful for her and make you want to save this delicate flower, and then we're going to kill her off and you can't do anything about it. She is video games woman in a refrigerator.
As much as I hate that term, yeah, I'll agree with it.
And I've never liked her. Because of that. Like, there's just, like, that's one of those times where it's like, I couldn't get into the story of the game because it was, like, so, like, even back then, it was like, they are really trying to manipulate me emotionally here. Like, and they are trying way too hard to do it.
And yet, while it didn't work on your cold, dead heart, it worked on the hearts of millions and millions of players around the world.
But here's the thing, the only reason you cared about Aeris is because she died. And you couldn't do anything about it. And if she lived or you could bring her back, she wouldn't have any importance.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like, I can see Square Enix doing that because metric fuck ton of cash, but they also would ruin the integrity of the game.
At this point, would they really give a shit?
That's the question, because it's like, it's the big dollar sign, you know? Money talks, and they kind of... need a hit really badly because their Final Fantasy games sell, but they don't sell like well enough to offset those. You know, it's massively expensive to produce those games. You know, they profit, but they could profit better off of other things. It's kind of weird in that way, where it's grown into a beast that cannot feed itself.
Hold on, you're saying it can feed off other entities. I'm sort of looking over the square here. Just Cause 3, Nier, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, Kingdom Hearts 3, World of Final Fantasy, Hitman, Star Ocean, Deus Ex, and
I feel bad for
Project Setsuna. Everything is a fucking sequel or some sort of remake.
Don't you feel bad for Tales of Final Fantasy? It's like, hey, here's this cute, fun little game, an RPG with a bunch of classic characters in it. Oh, by the way, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, pretty much. The way they presented it. Like I went back and actually watched and listened proper when they did it in the Square Enix press conference. The game doesn't seem bad. It's got a good premise and an idea to it. But at the same time, when you put it up against Final Fantasy VII Remake, everybody's going to go, World of what?
Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, way to cut that out from under its own legs.
Yeah, pretty much. But I have to ask, did you see the Doom footage?
No, Doom was like the one thing I forgot to go check out.
You need to go and have a look at that.
Apparently I do.
It's sort of like, it's blood, guts, and gore with old-school mechanics. So no two gun loadout, none of this hiding behind walls bullshit. It's go and collect as many health and armor upgrades as you can around the area and shoot the shit out of everything.
Nice. I miss those days where it was like, yeah, your character can carry enough firearms for a small nation.
Well, that seems to be the big thing. Like, I posted on, I think it was GameSpot put out a thing about Fallout 4 and its graphics not being, you know, up to current gen standards and all this and shit. I put it out there that we've hit a limit on what graphics can do. So some developers are turning around and going, sure, we can still make it as shiny as hell and make it, you know, colorful as anything, make it graphically impressive. Okay, that's cool. Oh, what's this? Gameplay? Story? Characters?
Yeah.
I forgot to focus on those. and we're finally getting developers, especially like Bethesda, who are turning around going, we're going to put a story first. We're going to put characters first. We're going to put gameplay first.
That's the unfortunate thing the game industry just kind of fallen to, where you have all these flavor of the month video games coming out where they put a lot of focus in one area and then kind of forget about other things, you know, like, you know, there things that might leave out a multiplayer campaign or a single player campaign, Titanfall. Like, I love my Titanfall, but if the servers ever go down, that's $60 I paid that is going to be a nice little, like, 15-minute demo one day. That's if you can find anyone to play it with still. And then you get games like that, games like Destiny, games like Evolve, where they got a really good gameplay mechanic and then no depth whatsoever. And they know that it has no depth. They know people are only going to play it for like 2 months and then forget about it. And you know, it's just it's a real quick thing to make. They don't invest too much in it. They just get it out the door, work on the next one, and they don't care about, you know, the longevity of it, because in 2 months, no one's going to care. And because it keeps going that way, we've kind of invented this like mindset of, yeah, well, you can, yeah, it's okay. Like, hey, yeah, I paid $60 and I had my 2 months of fun. Ooh, look. Bloodborne just came out. Let's go to that instead.
Very true. Very, very true. And it's good that some people have turned around and gone, all right, we're going to now focus story, gameplay, not have to be it online all the time, and we will actually do things like, you know, actual expansion packs instead of bit-by-bit DLC that costs way too much fucking money.
Yeah.
But speaking of online games that require people and servers and stuff to be fun, Tom Clancy's The Division looks good.
Didn't see it.
Well, you suck then. I bet you watched the whole concert for Just Dance 2016, yeah?
Oh, fuck off. No, I was waiting to No. I sat on bated breath waiting for updates on the next Guitar Hero.
Which surprisingly never actually happened yet. I've received emails.
I got dragged around for thrift store shopping. You know what was in every thrift store I found? Guitar Hero controllers, Rock Band drums, going for like, I don't know, $5 for the peripheral.
Yeah, because nobody wants the old stuff anymore. And in about a year after this whole Guitar Hero Live thing disappears, they're going to be $5 in thrift shops all over again.
Because, you know, I can't wait to walk through a Walmart and have to squeeze through the video game section as these crates full of plastic video game instruments are just sitting there going unsold. I'm not a fan of those games. I don't know if you can tell.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Like, I've got a couple of Guitar Hero peripherals still sitting here, and they are covered in layers of dust so thick that I could probably create a nice little dust pile with them.
You know, the only, like, purpose those have anymore, your Guitar Hero and Rock Band peripherals, is for gamers to show what a gigantic cock they have by beating games like Dark Souls and Bloodborne using only the drums.
No, it's been the guitars. People beating Bloodborne and Dark Souls using the guitar buttons, which I'll admit is fucking impressive.
It's impressive, but goddamn, get a hobby. Like, I'm not one to pull the nerd card and go, good lord, but holy shit, how much free time do you need? I'm going to take the hardest game in the world and use the most inconvenient controller possible to beat it. Can I hook up the Donkey Konga bongos and beat Dark Souls?
Don't tempt people because they will find a way to do that one.
Can I hack this together so that I can play Bloodborne with the Wii Fit balance board? It's shit like that. It bugs me.
Yeah, but you remember, these are the same type of people who, before all this type of stuff came around, were going, hey, let's try and beat Legend of Zelda without a sword. Let's try and beat Mario in under 10 minutes. You know, it was the start of the speedrunner craze.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same type of idiots.
Speedrunning, at least, I have a little bit more respect for. Because that's a lot. You know, okay, that you have to know a game inside and out for that. Beating a hard game with a weird controller, like, as soon as the muscle memory's there, that's pretty much the same. It's just, like, disorienting when you think about it.
True. I'll mention another game for you, because hopefully you've heard of this one at least, only because of the subtitle.
Right.
South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
I heard of this one. Superhero-based this time.
Yeah. And that's about all we know. Because Matt and Trey went at the end of the last game, hey, we actually know how to make a game now. We should, like, actually try this time.
And all you have to do is tell me the title and go, I'm there.
Oh, yeah. This one's already pre-ordered.
Yeah. I got that during the last Steam sale, not the one going on now that's threatening my wallet. But I got Stick of Truth on the last one, and I was like, I spent like a 4-day weekend playing through that because I could not put the controller down.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, I put the controller down and put the game back into the case and took it down to EB and sold the fucking thing.
Ah.
Why? Because, you know, Australia, censorship.
Eh.
So I have to get my hands on a American copy somehow.
It is.
And get the proper experience.
Yeah, because the game is glorious. Frankly, way better than a South Park game deserves to be. Especially an RPG.
Yeah, well, I saw someone play through it from start to finish. And I'm like, yeah, this is, like, better than a South Park episode.
Oh, yeah.
Or even a South Park movie or something like that. Like, this is way better than what South Park is meant to be. But
the brilliant thing, being a game, it gets away with so much more than you normally get away with.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we would see pretty much a live abortion in a video game.
Yeah! That's a quick time event I never expected.
Yeah. I've been putting this one off because I personally thought these guys had a poor showing, but I know how much of a fanboy you are. Shall we talk quickly about Nintendo?
Oh, Nintendo.
At least their opening was good. Jim Henson Company presents Nintendo Muppets.
Yeah, Nintendo Muppets are a real thing.
The thing is, I would so buy like a Muppet Reggie and Iwata. So I just watching the Muppets, I'm like, oh my god, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I want a Muppet. I would so want a Muppet Moto.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, okay, what's the sketch? Why are they turning into animals? Oh shit, Star Fox. Bye.
Yeah, Star Fox. I was really happy to see.
Yeah, I think that was proper. Pretty much what, like, what most people were happy to see was Star Fox.
Yeah, proper Star. Yeah, at least it's proper Star Fox, not the stupid strategy thing they release on the DS.
Yeah, and it seems, from what I was able to gather, it's got like four different forms to it.
Yeah, they put in a lot of the elements they did for Star Fox 2 that never came out. So the R-Wing, so everything transforms.
So Star Fox Transformers.
Mm-hmm. It's looking good. Like, I'm happy with that so far. I will fully admit Nintendo had a poor showing. Though I don't think Nintendo puts nearly as much value on E3 anymore because they do their direct stuff to announce major things. Like, that's pretty much what this was. It was a Nintendo Direct. It was just at E3.
Yeah, but this is usually where they start giving you their big plans for the next year and all their big hype games. And honestly, I didn't feel much hype.
No, there's just a lot of the usual, because we know the big hype games are like, you know, okay, so Star Fox was a good announcement. We know they're doing, we know they're doing a massive Legend of Zelda game for the Wii U, so that's fine. But everyone already knows about that.
And it didn't even feature at the Direct.
Because again, they show off everything when they're ready to show it off. Like, there's no like, oh, let's hold on to this. You know, no, it's just like, hey, we got it ready. Yeah, let's show everyone.
Yeah, but even the lineup of games that they were trotting out just didn't seem worth it. Like, Zelda Triforce Heroes, I sort of looked at that and went, great, a game I won't really be able to play unless I can find two other human beings to interact with.
Yeah, that's why I didn't like Four Swords either. It's basically the same game as Four Swords.
Yeah, and we're getting a basically downgraded Hyrule Warriors.
Well, downgraded, but added content.
Still a bunch of meh. That's a personal thing. I'm not a Dynasty Warriors fan, and I can't stand that type of gameplay.
Okay. What about the Metroid game they announced?
As a side story, it doesn't seem like a bad idea.
Yeah. Because, like, there's really
fanboys
no
fanboys need to shut the fuck up, though.
Yeah, they do. Because, like, there's no way to, like, okay, look, we figured out a way of doing a multiplayer co-op Metroid game. That should be fucking awesome. And if it was Samus in the lead role, you'd be wetting yourself. But because it's these, basically just four generic
Federation troops.
Yeah. Everyone shits on it before they even give it a chance.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you added Samus to the game as a playable character, people would be bitching because they won't be playing as Samus if they get stuck with one of the generic guys.
Yeah.
So for the sake of balance and less bitching, they went, okay, everybody gets the same type of guy. And to be honest, it's something that they have said is based on the Metroid Prime universe, saying it is a side story. It is nothing to do with the direct three games that they've re-released 18 times.
Yeah, and they basically just said that just to tell you, yeah, it's going to be Prime-style gameplay. First person. So it's basically like Nintendo doing, like, Borderlands-style gameplay, four-player co-op, you know, in the best analogy I can think of off the top of my head. Like, I don't see a problem with it. Like, as a side game, you know, like, do I want a real Metroid game? Yeah, but I acknowledge those are very, very complicated games to do, because it's the Metroid style. It's a you create an entire world that's basically one giant map.
And yet, because it's not a 2D or 2.5D Metroid game that people want, all of the extreme fanboys are bitching and complaining and asking for things to be cancelled before they even get a chance to see or play what it's like.
Right. Fucking hate that.
Yeah. Out of this entire thing, there was actually one game that I got excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Mario and Luigi Paper Jam.
The merging of the two RPG franchises.
Yeah, which is good, because I actually liked the RPG series, and I liked Paper Mario.
Yeah,
so merging them together, it's like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because it's on 3DS, the Paper Mario graphics actually look pretty good.
Yeah, now they're in 3D, the paper looks great.
Yeah. Mind you, of course, we get absolutely no anything about Amiibos.
They did announce that they were upping production numbers. And yeah, and they would be releasing some of the rare ones again. Okay, so that will give them credit. They were at least addressing it, and they weren't... I'm still waiting to find out if I, like, don't have to, like, struggle to keep collecting them.
Yeah, and I'm struggling to try and find them for you.
Yeah. I do appreciate that. I had someone message me and go, look, I work at Walmart. Which ones are you still missing? Like, it'd still be, like, super rare.
Hey, at least it's something.
Yeah. I'll take whatever I can get at this point.
Yeah. Now, did you catch all the announcements for Super Smash Bros. Just before E3, though?
Crap ton of new characters. And they're already out?
Yeah.
New stages.
In other words, how do we destroy the eShop in less than 3 seconds?
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll put a... There's part of me is like, at this point in Smash Brothers, the biggest gag they could do is put in an actual fighting game character.
They added Ryu from Street Fighter.
That's what I mean. Because everything else is like, oh, yeah, we'll put in Mr. Game & Watch. We'll put in the little Rob robot that everyone hated. Oh, and we'll also put in Pac-Man. And we'll make fighting game characters out of all of them. And so it's like, it's what Smash does. It's like it makes viable fighters out of things that should not be in a fighting game. And then they put in Ryu.
Now, have you played any of these characters yet?
No, because they require money, and my wallet has been eviscerated.
Well, go and revive your wallet at some point, because I would actually recommend getting Ryu.
Oh, I am absolutely, like as soon as I can get around to, like, having some burnable income again, because this Metro is like, God, I don't want to think about how much money I put into that weekend.
I know you put in a lot, because I saw you put up something on eBay that I was surprised that you parted with.
I put a lot of things on eBay I'm surprised I parted with.
You parted with something Skywarp-related.
You know,
that
when it
scares me.
Okay. In my defense, I don't like that toy. That is, like, a really, really bad toy to call Masterpiece Transformer. And if I'm going to only I'm getting over this thing where it's like, I can't keep it just because of the character it is, or just because of that. I've got a freaking dozen Skywarps. Like, I don't need, like, if I'm not going to get Thundercracker to match those two, I don't need to have just the two. And if I'm going to get rid of one between him and Starscream, it's going to be Skywarp.
Fair enough.
I'm trying to get over that. I'm trying to get over things like, oh, well, you can't break up the set. Oh, well, having a repaint around of a really good toy is a good thing. No. No, I don't have the space anymore to justify this.
Well, all I can say is keep selling so you can make room for Pop Vinyls.
No. I have too many financial rabbit holes in my life as it is.
Hey, I knew you bought the Claptrap, but I even heard you bought another one the other day.
Well, here's the thing. We went in... me and the people went into GameStop, because I was just wondering what their Amiibo section looked like. It looked like shit. And there's just this giant stack of Pop Vinyls, and that's where she took that photo, just to get you in on the whole, come on, let's team up. Let's team up and get them to start buying these. It's about 30 minutes later...
Which worked quite well, by the way.
Oh, no, it didn't work. it didn't work, because before you even replied, 30 minutes later, I was in a Toys R Us. So I was looking. Honestly, I looked through their pop vinyls because there was one at GameStop she really wanted. So I figured if I could find it at Toys R Us, I'd surprise her with it. And then I found the freaking Metal Luna Mutant. This is the Mystery Science Theater geek in me. Like, if I have the chance for a little Metal Luna, I will take the little Metal Luna. So I have this blue mutant ant with a gigantic brain body.
See, I haven't seen the MST3K ones. They haven't.
Oh, it's not
arrived here.
It's not MST3K. It's Universal Monsters. Like, so yeah,
we haven't got those here yet either.
Yeah. So it's like classic Frankenstein, Wolfman's Creature from the Black Lagoon, etc. But because MST3K made that movie so much better known, the Metal Luna is one they routinely do anytime they do one of those toy lines. Like, I've got a full, like, 7-inch action figure of the Metal Luna Mutant.
Fair enough. But here it is. I look over at my pile of pop vinyls that keeps getting added to. I couldn't help myself. Like, I walked into EB Games or GameStop for you Americans.
I miss Electronics Boutique here. That was always friendlier to me than GameStop.
Exactly. I went in to pick up Lego Jurassic World because, well, Lego dinosaurs. How could you fucking fail?
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm walking out, I happen to notice, like you did, this gigantic shelf of pop vinyls. And I'm looking at it, going, okay, I can avoid 90% of these because they're stuff that I'm not really interested in. Right down on the bottom shelf, I spot a Claptrap.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, fuck. I've just been out and spent $130 on, like, comics and other shit. Now I'm about to spend another, $17 on a pop vinyl.
That was the scary thing. Like, we went into that GameStop, and we were staring at this, like, stack of pop vinyls, and then one of the clerks came over and said, well, it's the right time now, so I can flip this around. He flips around a sign that says, buy three, get one free. So the female is like, she finds like a handsome Jack, she finds a gentleman Claptrap, she finds Mad Moxie, she lines them up and goes, eh, eh, eh.
And you should have at least taken the bait.
No, because I knew I had Toys R Us coming up and I had a specific budget in my pocket since, MetroCon and all. To my credit, I went and got a Lego Hulkbuster with the money instead.
Fair enough. Mind you, I'm sitting here going, I wish I could get my hands on the Gentleman Claptrap. I can get the yellow and blue ones. Can I get the Gentleman Claptrap?
I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into variants and all the Claptraps and all that. No.
You will do it. You will.
You will fail.
You will give in.
Oh!
I should actually ask the female next time I talk to her if she actually has a collection of pop vinyls.
She does not. The only toys she owns are the ones I've bought for her.
Okay. So she's trying to get you to buy them so that way she doesn't have to.
Pretty much.
Well, that's fair enough. Like, between me and my female, we both now combine our pop vinyl collections.
Well, when it comes to this one, it is, well, she doesn't have to buy anything Kamen Rider because I'll buy it for her and she can play with it. And inversely, if there is an anime I want to watch, I'll pester her into buying it.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. So it's a mutual abuse of each other's wallet.
To which you turn around every now and again and try and abuse mine.
Yours is more fun.
Not these days. But anyway, I think we're pretty much done talking geek. For the moment, anyway.
Yeah.
Shall we take a break?
Sure, that's a good idea.
Alright, well, we're going to take a break.
Oh no, not that music.
We'll come back with actual wrestling talk right after this commercial break.
I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just Radio's too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I wanna roll with the gangsters, but so far they all think I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Really, really white and nerdy.
My class here at MIT, got skills on the
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two on my...
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a disc bang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you done the battle over here.
That's a horse you have, that's a horse
you have.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Oh, what, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Back to more Geek Talk on Otaku Talk Live with the Spug Guy, Mace, and Omega.
Oh, God.
You know, instead of pulling out the intro, we'll find the one of the old bumpers.
And here it is, I was sitting here going, why isn't Rock telling someone to go to bring the show back in?
Because Rock was playing a joke, because he can. And otherwise, because Twitch, the Wirecast decided to crash and we had to restart that. So, anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody.
Yeah, now we're getting to the wrestling portion of this program.
Yeah. And Despair Omega, I didn't play the one with the creepy, the old man voice.
Oh, well, I was thinking that. I was like, oh, wait, Spug isn't in that one.
No, Mace isn't in that one.
Oh, yeah, I'm in Mace, yeah. That wouldn't fit.
That wouldn't fit at all. But
that makes you Spug.
See, after all these years, we never knew which one was Robin out of you and Spug.
It was one of life's unanswered questions. At this point. Because I don't think we'll ever know. I think
well,
it's better.
I'm still around, and I have a new co-host, so there you go.
So Omega's Batman.
Right. That
comes out this week. Woo!
Because I don't
keep in mind though, Mace, you're my technically you're my second co-host. So
shit, I'm gonna die and then
avoid
come back
avoid crowbars.
Right. By the way, I don't know which one was which, but we're gonna try one just to see what it was.
And now back to the show where your inner nerd can run wild. Otaku Talk Live with the.
Otaku.
Alright, since I have all three, let's get
And now, back to Otaku Talk Live with the modern day Batman and Robin. The Spug Guy and Omega. Now, which one is Robin?
Otaku.
You can hear it as he's reading it. I've never seen this word in my life.
Right? And because, you know, we have the other one.
And now, back to the show, where it is okay to scream blood for the blood gods. Otaku, talk live with
the... said Otaku!
Well, that was the first one he cut. Then he learned what the word was.
It's now a Japanese taco show.
All taco.
Yes, we're digging way back into the files. Because, yeah, why not? Celebrating history this week, so why not dig back into Otaku Talk Live history? Because we can.
Sure, why not? Because Tim's not here and we can get away with that shit.
Because no one...
And the good thing is, we even have a transition. How good is this? WWE has launched a gaming channel on YouTube.
Up, up, down, down with Xavier Woods.
Sometimes going by his indie name, but yes.
Austin, well, sort of his indie name.
Wasn't that the one he used in TNA?
Consequences Creed was the TNA name. So it's sort close. It's close. Half his real name and Creed. And there's going to be 6 days a week programming, I think, on the channel. If I remember reading it correctly on Thursday.
Gaming channels do have to kind of hit hard and fast. You know, that's pretty much what the big channels have to do to keep up.
I know one of the shows is going to be with other personalities. So, Big E playing games with Kofi. Or Xavier, I should say. Or Kofi even playing, too. Oh, God, New Day playing video games together. Oh, that would be interesting.
Only because they're going to stop to clap every 5 minutes.
They did something well, they'll start to clap, yeah.
So I would love to watch them play a game, like a super depressing game like Left 4 Dead. I'm just screaming, stay positive, stay positive!
You shot the witch, stay positive! It's okay, I'm only a little dead.
Only a little dead.
The power of positivity will revive me!
Yeah, Up, 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 down, down plays Mondays will be a Let's Play style show featuring Woods and other personalities play through today's hottest titles. Then you have...
So they won't be playing through the WWE 2K15 game. Cool.
You have For the Lulz. Woods and others explore the vast world of popular sandbox games like Grand Theft Auto 5, where just about anything and everything can happen.
Because, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is great for a company that wants to try and retain a PG image.
That is my first thought. First thought.
Then on Fridays, you got Jump Scares, delving deep into the horror genre.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's great for the kids. Bit of Slender Man, bit of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Players push their intestinal fortitude, gotta get that line in there, to the limit by creeping through the industry's most blood-curdling games. Yep.
So Silent Hills, Resident Evil, Left 4 Dead. If they still have somebody who has it, the PT demo. Oh god, there's another one on PS4 that I can't remember that was scary as fuck. Oh, they could go through Slaughterhouse. Oh, it's gonna be so PG and good for the kids.
You have a superstar save point. Guests are tasked with jumping into a random game totally cold and must help lead Woods to gaming glory in this unpredictable co-op experiment.
I can see a lot of Mario games being placed in there where you get to be a dick.
Oh, some of the new Mario games are so good for being a dick to your friends.
And then you have Gamer Gauntlet on Sundays. Woods and friends challenge each other for more than gaming bragging rights, with losers suffering predetermined penalties.
Almost sounds like, what was it, Game Center?
Game Center CX?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they're ripping off a more popular Japanese show.
That show takes, like, upwards of, like, 13 hours to record, though. I'm not sure they'd be willing to put that much in.
True. And that makes me wonder, like, how they're going to keep doing a lot of this stuff when most of these guys are going to be on the road.
They probably got one truck somewhere that's actually going to have, like, PlayStation 4s and such hooked up.
Oh, the dudes carry them with them.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen photos of them with the portable screen system setups and stuff. For the consoles.
I remember a couple of years ago there was a memo going around of people getting in trouble because they were playing games in back instead of watching the matches.
Let's be honest, these days it's probably preferable to play the video games than watch the matches.
And
probably.
To answer your question, as I posted in our chat, current hits like WWE 2K15.
K!
It's listed in their present.
Current hits like WWE 2K15 and The Witcher. Okay. whoever had this idea obviously either has no idea of gaming or is not going to screen these things beforehand. Because The Witcher is something that I would not be putting on to, like, one of these type of gaming channels, especially with the WWE name attached to it. Considering The Witcher has 10 ton of graphic nudity and sex scenes.
We're confident that Up Up Down Down will entertain not only WWE fans, but gamers everywhere.
Bullshit. As goofy as people can be in the WWE, especially Xavier Woods, I'm sorry, he doesn't hold anything to, like, you know, Markiplier or PewDiePie.
Yeah.
Just insane cases left the insane asylum.
Yeah, this is like, you're going into an industry that it just has these absolute juggernauts. Like, there are just those two channels he named have, like, double or even triple of WWE's viewership. And they produce content every day, sometimes multiple times per day. It's shocking how much content they put out. That's a lot to compete with.
Well, they're well aware of that. By leveraging WWE's massive influence on YouTube and tapping into a content vertical that scores highly among our fans, we're poised to make an immediate impact with this new channel.
Bullshit. You ask any motherfucker out there who is trying to make it on YouTube, it is fucking impossible.
Maze, what is it like?
Especially in the video game industry.
So, Maze, what is it like on YouTube?
Fucking terrible!
Really? Tell me all about it.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I don't compare myself to Omega because we're two completely different genres.
For now.
I'm in the very oversaturated video game market where I can't even remember how many subscribers. I think I only got about 70 subscribers on my channel after 2 years. And, yeah, I'm having trouble trying to put out constant content as a one-man production. But then again, I am not a multi-billion-dollar company that can put out a production within 20 seconds.
And I play with toys.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know where Omega plays with toys at, it's...
It's youtube.com/TJOmega.
And Mace, where do you sort of play video games?
youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage.
Subscribe to their channels. Anyway, getting those shameless plugs out of the way. Speaking of shameless, China sneaked into WWE HQ this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a photo of her standing outside the border.
One at a time.
And now neither one of us talks. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead, Omega.
I was wondering if we had... I didn't read up on this. Do we have another Sunny situation?
No, this is all about a documentary she's trying to do about her trying to redeem her past and get into the WWE Hall of Fame. So, which is going to fail spectacularly because, first of all, she needs to get off the fucking drugs. Two, she needs to learn her own fucking history. And three, she needs to stop being China.
And four, she shouldn't go on a radio station on Sirius XM and talk about her sex tape for an hour. Because that will get you over with WWE. No point. Yeah, she's trying to do a Kickstarter or whatever. And they're trying to do a documentary. Her return to From Japan. Because everyone's interested in that. And she showed up on a Monday, when everyone else, they're in wherever WWE Raw is at. And she just snuck in, took the picture, left. No one knew she was there until the picture hit the internet. Kind of sad.
Hmm.
And everyone was
That's China's whole thing right now, is being kind of sad.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was like, oh my god, China's going back to WWE, oh my god. You should have seen the internet.
You should have seen the internet. Yeah. Oh my god.
It's just as bad as people photoshopping a picture of Dean Ambrose and Renee Young together. The internet will go crazy for it. And then he will lose fans because he's dating Renee Young. I never get that. But anyway. So you have that. Speaking of internet, because we're just going to roll right along, rumor has it Dolph Ziggler may leave this summer, or this fall, rather, if he doesn't get a promised big push for the title. Thoughts?
Don't blame him?
Yeah, pretty much. Don't blame him.
But where's he?
I don't know if we should be playing Hallelujah at this point or going, that's not a good idea.
It's not a Hallelujah thing, because Dolph is one of the most liked guys by the crowd in that whole company. He's one of the few guys who can get over with the crowd on work performance alone, because they certainly don't give him a storyline chance to break out. And he works really well. He's unique and exciting in the ring, and WWE is desperately in need of guys like him. And they do nothing. If you go out there and you get one of the best reactions every night, you know you're putting on some of the best matches every night, and they don't do anything with you. They give pushes to guys like Ryback, who is still green as hell this far into his career, and he gets championships.
Ziggler's had championships.
Yeah, he has. They don't do it anymore. Because Del Rio punted him in the fucking head.
The question lies, say he leaves WWE, where's he going? Does he want to be the indie headliner with the freedom to do his comedy shows one weekend and work three indie shots the next? Is that his future? Is that what he wants to do? Because is TNA even an option?
TNA is not an option for anyone anymore.
Unless you're Rey Mysterio, who is being courted by TNA.
Yeah, they also tried to court Edge, and they tried to court CM Punk, and you see how well that worked out.
But they can get Rey Mysterio into movies and TV and get his merchandise everywhere.
Sure they can.
I know. Great.
Dolph strikes me as a New Japan guy. Right? Like that, he kind of feels like he would be the type to make it huge, like overseas in that market. And honestly, I paid like to see him and AJ Styles, because at this point, like if Ziggler's on his way out and WWE is like, yeah, we kind of want AJ now. We might have like a 2-month window here where it might be possible.
What's your reaction to it, Mace?
I don't know. Like if Ziggler's gonna go anywhere, surprisingly enough, I'd see him probably doing something like a run at Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground of all places.
Well, the thing with Lucha Underground, they're waiting. They're in limbo at the moment because they have to be renewed for a second season.
And so they're in TNA's situation. Cool.
Because they did their run, and then whenever the run is over, I think it's in the first week in August, if I'm not mistaken. Then they'll get renewed. Everyone believes they'll get renewed for a second season, but they're a season-by-season deal because of its El Rey network. Because anyone knows what El Rey is. It's like, no one has that channel.
Again, just like TNA.
But again, they're in a better position being on El Rey just because that's a startup network. And, you know, they like the product. It's just that they have the budget for it. But it's like, Lucha Underground may not be an option. Chat room goes, go to Global Force Wrestling, but what is Global Force Wrestling? We don't know yet. And apparently Shane Douglas is apparently doing another promotion. We've seen what happens when Shane Douglas runs a promotion. Doesn't go well. Just pointing that out. So it's like,
so he's pretty much fucked. Awesome.
Right. The landscape is really, really big right now, but at the same time, it can shrink in an instant. TNA can go away. Lucha Underground could go away. Ring of Honor, I don't know if you could bring him into a Ring of Honor, because I don't know if they have the room and the space for him, you know?
Yeah.
Because they don't have the biggest of budget, and they max out their roster from time to time, and like,
yeah, but the other thing is with their new deal with Destination America, they need a couple of heavy hitters on the roster.
Not really.
Considering most of their guys got taken up by the WWE.
But not really, because the deal with Destination America, it's just they're running the syndicated show. It's not like with the TNA and Destination America, where Destination America has influence and in them, Ring of Honor can survive no matter what they put on Destination America. Because it's just their syndicated show. It's just, I don't know. On the other hand, it's like, if Ziggler leaves, it now opens up spots for newer talent. You would assume. Guys from NXT can come up like a Finn Balor and have a better spot if Ziggler wasn't there. Would it be great to see Ziggler and Finn Balor have a match? Yeah. But it also opens up that spot that keeps getting cluttered by the Mark Henrys and the Big Shows from time to time as well. You know?
Yeah. It's just weird. It's a weird situation. He's in a... Ziggler can either go and try and make it on the indie scene or try one of the other feds, which, let's be honest, outside of WWE, all the other ones are really either in limbo or are fucking up royally. Or he sticks with WWE where he gets treated like shit. So he's sort of, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
Yeah. Because, honestly, the second hottest promotion is not even another promotion. It's just their other brand.
Maybe he could do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll re-sign, but send me back to NXT.
Right.
Let me go wrestle Samoa Joe for 6 months in NXT.
Hey, I'd be down for that, actually.
And before we go to break, because we have one more break to go to, I'm not going to let you skip this part. What's your win for the week, Omega?
God, I had to go back and watch Raw on recap because I was still delirious.
Right.
So I actually didn't see much of it.
Okay. Anything that stuck out to you is go.
I'm looking through the results right now. This is mostly a blur. Like I can remember. I can remember Kevin Owens powerbombing Machine Gun Kelly.
Right.
I'm going to go with that just because fuck musical guests.
At least the ending was entertaining.
The ending was entertaining.
Yeah.
Completely fucking botched. Random by Owens.
But the thing, it was also botched too. Like when you watch it, Owens comes out, he hits Machine Gun, and the dude just completely collapses like a sack of shit. Owens goes to get him up, and he keeps falling over.
Like he staggered back to the locker room before. No, you gotta do your spot. You gotta take the spot. Come here. I gotta throw you into this padding over here. Come on.
Yeah. This convenient 10 feet of crash mat we set up for you,
which they shot perfectly well, by the way.
Yeah. It was so. And they might. It's like they're trying to draw something else out of this. I'm like, really?
Someone was tossing around. Let's do a tag team match. You put John Cena and Machine Gun Kelly against Kevin Owens and Justin Bieber for SummerSlam. I think that was Lance Storm's idea. As Omega cringes, Mace, what was your win?
My win for this week was. He's back. Brock's home. Which means more Heyman.
More Heyman.
Because you couldn't wipe that shit-eating grin off Heyman's face as he walked down with Brock. And you could see it. It was like watching the big bulldog face down the scared little chihuahua that shit itself. Like, Roland's reaction to Lesnar getting in his face was just, I'm dead. And that's what I like. Like, every time Brock Lesnar returns, whoever he's going up against sells it perfectly.
Yeah.
Plus, it might be legitimate, honestly.
That's true. Like, I've seen the meme going around, and I know, given recent circumstances, it's sort of in bad taste, but I did giggle. There was the battleground graphic of of Rollins and Lesnar, and underneath that, it's somebody's taken one of the recent screenshots from the Dusty Rhodes Memorial at Raw, and took Dusty out of it and redid it with Seth Rollins.
I believe that's posted in facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. I believe it's in there.
Possibly.
Yeah, it is. And that's not the Dusty Rhodes one, just so we're aware. Because I actually see Cody Rhodes in his Cody Rhodes gear, and I see John Cena in his black and green getup.
Oh, okay, so it was quite a while ago.
Yeah.
But I liked it. It's like, you know, it's like Battleground logo, and then underneath it's Battleground post show.
Yeah, it was. It was the Warrior setup.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that. I know it's in bad taste given, you know, Dusty Rhodes' recent passing. But
you know,
I giggled because that's what it's like when anybody goes up against Brock right now. You might as well just hold their memorial the next day.
Yeah. All right. Staying with you, Mace. Fail.
The musical performance. You never, ever, 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 ever put musical performances in wrestling shows. It's never worked. Never.
Unless they're playing someone out to their theme.
Yeah.
In which case, you get Lemmy from Motorhead just kind of drunkenly mumbling through the song he wrote.
Give me beer.
Oh, yeah. There is that. All right, Omega, what was your fail?
Fuck King Barrett. Fuck the booking in general. How about that? King Barrett, King of the Ring, loses to our fucking truth.
Mm-hmm.
The Spider Guy.
Yeah, the Spider Guy, yeah.
Who recently got over his fear of ladders.
Uh-huh. Raw started off with Dean pinning Sheamus.
Yeah.
Like, that's your Money in the Bank winner. He just won Money in the Bank. He's the guy who can win the title anytime he wants. And he loses his first night with the briefcase. And then we come back and we have R-Truth pretending to be a king, beating the actual King of the Ring, who's on another losing streak, even though he's supposed to be like King of the Ring. So I'm happy you brought that back, WWE.
By the way, it's King What's Up. It's the
King
official.
What's Up.
What's Up.
Oh, my God.
I know. It makes you cringe, I know. I know. Trust me. I gotcha on that one. And you talk about bad musical performances. God, I hate when WWE Network does this. They were one of the Jerry Springer shows was doing the Bloopers and Blunders episode, and they brought up when the DX band was at WrestleMania 14, and they tried to play the national anthem, and they really didn't do a good job. And well, just listen to this a minute.
The green and black of D-Generation X, as the DX band performed live at WrestleMania 14. You've never heard of the DX band? Well, maybe this is why.
Here is the D-Generation X band, led by lead singer Chris Warren, to perform the alternative new wave version of the themes America the Beautiful and our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see? By the dawn's early light, oh, so proudly they hailed at the twilight. Let's be mad! Who's brought the track to
the bright sun? Boy, the bluebirds were out.
Yeah. Like, that's
okay, I'm not American, and even I found that offensive.
Yeah, it's like they're ready to start singing the DX song. And here's a little bit more.
I'm surprised people didn't jump the railing and beat the shit out of them for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm talking as somebody who's heard Roseanne Barr sing.
Yeah. That's...
You know, and the shit she got for that.
It's like they knew one song and they were just replacing the DX lyrics with the... National Anthem.
Yeah, and the crowd turned on them within, like, 0.5 of a second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, why do you even attempt to do something like that to a country's national anthem?
Because it was the New Wave first. I
don't give a shit. if you are employed to do the national anthem for your country, you don't change the fucking thing.
No.
You know, it's pride in your country, for fuck's sake. And, you know, I harp on America for their blind patriotism, but, you know, you don't do that to those type of songs. It's fucking stupid. That's...
Yeah. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, come back.
Please, I'm getting the mind bleach.
Really quick break. We'll come back. Mace is going to rant on some things. We have the all-time greatest coming up. And quick hits to end the night. You're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk. We'll be right back.
Only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Thursday night, The Rock lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rock. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we're going to get into some comments made by Bret the Hitman Hart. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated, or SI.com, and said the following. Daniel Bryan is finished. He'll never wrestle again. I don't think he knows it yet. I feel terrible about Daniel Bryan. For all intents and purposes, he had the exact same thing happen to him that happened to me after Bill Goldberg kicked me in the head, ending Bret Hart's career. One day, you learn it's over. Doctors tell you that you can't wrestle, and you'll never wrestle again. I lost millions of dollars because of that. I pray that's not the same for Daniel Bryan. Thoughts?
I don't like the pessimistic outlook, but at the same time, he's been there.
Yeah. And I think we all think it, but we all hope that he could return. But
yeah.
Like, Bret tried to come back, and it just never worked out.
No. It is a far different issue. The problem with Daniel is he took the wrong approach to recovering. And now it's basically he's forced to take the right approach, and now it is, if this doesn't work, he's done.
Right.
So, Bret's facing something that was, you can't do anything about it. It's post-concussion syndrome. Like, you're done. There is no fixing this. There is no getting better. You're done.
Right. What's your take, Mace?
I think, as much as I'd love to say he's wrong, I'm pretty much siding with Bret on this one.
Tim's
especially
not
here. I know Tim's not here, and I know I don't have to fill his spot, but...
No, it's like Tim's not here, and you're finally agreeing with a Canadian. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, it's a point of experience, really. Bret had to deal with this stuff during his time, and he sees the same thing in Daniel Bryan, and he's hoping that Daniel doesn't make the same mistakes he did.
Right.
If that means that we are seeing the end of Daniel Bryan, then so be it. I'd rather the guy retire now for his health than completely fuck his head up.
Right, I want him to be able to play with his kids.
When he has kids and feeds them vegan stuff and stuff.
Yeah, and feeds them vegan stuff, yeah. I want him to have that opportunity to play with his kids at some point, So if he has to, go away from pro wrestling to do that, it would suck, but I'm okay with it. We don't know exactly what's wrong with Daniel Bryan. They don't tell us what's wrong with Daniel Bryan. And I think that's part of the issue. No one knows. We knew he had neck issues before, and nerve damage with something in his shoulder, I believe it was. Don't remember exactly, but he was losing feeling and trying to grip things and all that fun stuff. And which is detailed on Total Divas. But it's a tough situation for him to be in. Really tough situation. because you don't want him. Because Bret Hart went on to say he went back in the ring and he did the exact same stuff he was doing and he was trying to test it, but maybe he pushed himself too hard. So I don't know. Hopefully Bret Hart is not right, but the odds pointed to him being right that his career could possibly be done. Sucks saying that, though.
Yeah. Like, especially when it's someone, like, really good, you don't want anyone's career to be taken away from them that way.
Right.
Like, okay, there's a lot of guys on the roster I'm not a fan of. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of them losing their work and losing their passion and all that because, their neck got tweaked the wrong way. Or they busted their ankle and the bone's not healing.
Right. You don't want that.
No. I think with Brian, it stings a little bit more because he had alternatives and didn't take them. And there's always that what if in your head of maybe if he had done it the other way, he'd be back full time.
Take that extra 5 months and he would be back right now.
Yeah.
And be healthy. It's that, do I stick to my beliefs or do I go the opposite?
It's the what if factor. It's like, what if he did this? Would we have a healthy Brian and not have this worry?
Right.
So it's like, it hurts, it stings more in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, with Brett, it's an unfortunate accident and there's really nothing you could have done to prevent that. With Brian, there's a choice involved here, and it stings worse because of it.
Right. Anything else you want to add, Mace?
No, I'm pretty much done.
This is where I now go. CM Punk talks about Hulk Hogan. Go, Mace!
Oh, CM, who cares? The man who is trying so hard to be relevant in wrestling without being anywhere near the business itself. Ripping on Hulk Hogan, why? Because we know that the news sites will cover it and it'll blow up on Twitter and get him all the attention that his little attention hearts, these attention-starved heart desires. And it's not even about anything to do with, his own team. Like, we know Punk is a big Chicago Blackhawks fan. Sure, they were playing the Lightning in the finals, whatever the hell, who cares? But the way in which he ripped on Hogan
multiple times,
was, you're not the fan that I am. And it's that type of mentality that just makes me cringe. Because it's the really bad sports fan mentality. It's, you don't know the team captain, or you don't know their history. You can't tell who, starting lineup was when they last won their championship 50 years ago. That type of elitist bullshit. I'm an encyclopedia on the team and the sport and everything else. And just because you're not up to my level, you're not a true fan. Fans can come from every which way. I barely know jack shit about the Seattle Seahawks. I just know that I like the way that they play, and I like some of the guys on the team. Hence why I go for them. Even a game that I've known my entire life, AFL football, I can't tell you even 10% of the guys on the current lineup of the team. But I've been a fan for so long that they are still my team.
Right.
And it just annoys the shit out of me every time lately that CM Punk opens his mouth is to bag out somebody in the wrestling industry because, frankly, he wants to try and stay somewhat relevant. He made his decision, he walked away from the company, he started bag-mouthing everybody, he's making himself look an absolute douchebag. But he needs to keep all those blind idiot followers that are still following and thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced bread today. He needs them because he needs them to come over to the UFC when he fights in 2016 or 2017 or whatever the fuck it is. But the fact is, as of now, and it's finally got to the point where it's not as bad as it used to be, and we've all finally fucking moved on, that CM Punk is literally CM who? CM who gives a shit? CM who cares? CM that guy who's fucking AJ, that poor girl who has to put up with an idiot like this? Seriously, the amount of people that go... CM Punk must be the most well-hung guy on the fucking planet because there's no other reason why AJ would be fucking staying with him because he's such an arsehole.
Here's the thing. CM Punk doesn't even have to do anything and some news sites will pick up a story about him. Did we all hear about the Brad Maddox sort of look-alike story? He looked like CM Punk.
He wore the same ring gear. Oh my god, do you know how easy that ring gear is to get?
Oh my god.
I've got a set in my fucking wardrobe!
Yeah, black. What? Did anyone get a photo of it? Like, how close is it?
Not even close. Not really that close.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that close.
The shit that I own is actually closer to CM Punk's actual ring gear.
Yeah. It's really, really sad. But this is. Must be a really slow news day when you pick up on some random person's Twitter account and go, oh my god, it's Brad Maddox looking like nothing like CM Punk. Yeah, it's just... For Omega's reference, there's a link. You can see the picture. Yeah. And he cut a pipe bomb got other people going.
He cut a pipe bomb about how nobody remembers who he is.
Or is that just called a promo these days? Just pointing that one out. That's CM Punk, right? Right? I don't see the...
I've seen CM Punk cosplays that were better than that.
But he did more kicks, so he's CM
I'm
Punk.
Not kidding.
I know, but no, he did more kicks in the match, so he's... Totally CM Punk now.
CM, oh, wow. Did he do a Pepsi plunge? Of course not, because he fucking lost, but besides that...
He is the one who went to sleep.
What the fuck?
Two Jack Swagger of all people.
Okay, so he's wearing black trunks, black boots, and a hoodie.
CM Punk.
Stone Cold in a hoodie would look like that.
No, he wasn't wearing knee braces. Had to get the knee braces to be Stone Cold.
No, Mr. CM Punk not here.
Oh no, now, see what you can do now? You can team Brad Maddox up with Macho Mandel and Axel Mania. Make him CM Punk, put him in the trio. There you go.
Oh, the stable of who gives a shit. Awesome.
There you go.
Smell those merchandise dollars being flushed down the toilet.
Yeah. But this was what the news sites picked up on.
Yeah, like, okay, let's be straight up honest. Like, this week, we're reaching for fucking news, which is why we did an hour on geek shit.
Yeah.
but, man, we're not reaching this much. You know.
Because if we really wanted to, we could have came up with some discussions. But, you know, it's okay.
Tim's away, so we decided to do shit we enjoy.
Yeah, Tim wasn't here, so I said, hey, you guys are doing geek shit for an hour. And Omega's like, that's dangerous. No, it's not. I knew what I was doing.
Did you see my... Look, I spent an hour and 40 minutes by myself talking about just MetroCon. And here we also had E3. We also had BotCon. We also had all the other geek shit we could rant about. I went to Jurassic World tonight. I got to rant about that movie.
I know.
No. That's the type of thing we put in a podcast later, Omega.
Oh, right. Forgot.
Yeah. You got to save that content. But, yeah, I, by the way, I like your videos and stuff. I was not listening to you just by yourself for an hour and 43 minutes. just point this one out.
So surprisingly enough, I actually put it on not long after Omega put it up, and I'm like, I think I got about half an hour into it, and I'm like, let's see what else is on. Sorry, dude.
I don't blame you. It's a long sit. I know most will just put it on for background noise.
Yeah, that's why I think I got about as far as the program nitpicking, and then at that point I stopped.
Here's the thing. I didn't stay on one topic. There's just so much shit this weekend. I could have gone on forever, and I still, like... God, there's so much I had to cover.
Yeah, but you started strong. You started with the toys.
I know.
Those toys were dumb. Most people didn't have a reason to watch.
Well, I know that, because most of that audience goes, oh, Metricon, fuck that. So, like, okay, I know what you care about. I know what most of my audience cares about. They care about what I got in the dealer room and what I had autographed this year. So get that out of the way. You guys can fuck off. Now the people who actually want to hear about the con, come on, it's story time.
Once again, you can go to youtube.com/TJOmega for all of it.
And to watch about 20 minutes of an hour and 40-minute video.
Ken Kins asks, could you put tags on it, a chapter function?
I could.
But that's extra effort. Who does that?
Yeah.
Hey.
Omega cares about his fans. He might do it.
Are you kidding? Have you not seen the videos I've done lately? I actually put effort into editing.
Extra. How big is this folder right now? Hang on. I put about 30 gigabytes of footage. I use about 30 gigabytes of footage to put together a 2-minute trailer.
Yeah, but that's because you do everything in ultra high quality.
As everyone should. Just saying.
I don't know. Are you recording in 4K yet?
Fucking 4K. Okay, come on. Now it's just getting absurd. I don't need to see every single pore on every single cell of skin.
I don't know, I was hearing rumors earlier today that they're working on 8K displays already.
Oh, my... Really?
Yeah. Including graphic cards that can output 8K graphics.
To save Omega Soul.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
We need you in the chat room right now to play along and fill in Tim's spot, so we'll give the chat room the final vote if a tiebreaker needs to be put down as we continue the third round of the all-time greatest conversation, as we have the top rope brainbuster taking on the sharpshooter Omega.
No, do I want a classic submission or do I want someone to die? Because the top rope brainbuster is just fucking... Ow!
Yeah.
You kind of see why Zane doesn't get to use that anymore. Honestly, I would put it to the sharpshooter. It's a lot more classic. It's more scientific. It's a kind of move that you have to tell a story in the ring to correctly apply. Rock.
I was waiting for that one.
And it's a really it's a it's a good-looking submission that offers a lot of things, you know, because you can crawl out of it, you can reverse it, and if you sink it, but if you sink it in well enough, it looks like it hurts like hell. I think it gets some more suspense as well than just like, because okay, you crush someone's skull onto the top turnbuckle out of a vertical out of a superplex. That's done. You're done. Everyone's done. So, yeah, sharpshooter.
All right, Max.
I'm going the other way. I'm going the top rope brainbuster. I like the dangerous moves. I like something that is impactful, and that's what a finish is. It's meant to be the end. You know, there's meant to be no way that they can stop this. Sharpshooter can be broken. Sharpshooter can be stopped by simply grabbing the ropes. Whereas an impactful finisher like Top Rope Brainbuster means once you hit, you're done. Because frankly, there's no real safe way to bump that fucking thing. So either way, you're fucked.
There you go. So that makes it tied, so we turn it over to the chat room, and the chat room decided...
Starscream Josh doesn't get a vote.
He actually voted Brainbuster. And the Brainbuster moves on. The chat room decided Brainbuster moves on. They broke the tie. Figure Four takes on the dreaded Pile Driver Mace.
Pile Driver. Because what other move has been practically banned throughout wrestling? And again, it's another one of those versions that it's going to finish a match, hence being a finish. So yeah, pile driver.
Omega.
Okay. Here's where I completely flip around my own logic just to show you how weird it is in my brain. Pile driver. Because, yeah, we're figure four, classic submission hold. I've never really been that big on the figure four. Because while it is a good looking hold, and again, like the sharpshooter, it provides you some storytelling. It's not the most convenient. Like, I remember Ric Flair doing that in WCW where the ring was shorter, and it's like, if he didn't get in the right spot, just the right spot in the ring diagonal to both of the turnbuckles, there's no part of, you know, like, that's like the only part of the mat where the opponent cannot reach the ropes. Mm-hmm. So it's a very inconvenient hold, because it looks like something you can get out of a little bit too easily. But pile driver, you know, it is classic. It is an impactful move. Yeah, and it's banned in the PG era, so it must be bad.
The chat room vote would have been pile driver as well. So the pile driver and the top rope brainbuster move on. Next week on the show will be the Jackknife Powerbomb taking on the Muscle Buster. And the 3D takes on the DDT on the next edition of the All-Time Greatest. With that said, it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
To answer the question in terms, it's a traditional DDT. So people are made aware. Alright, Mace, you were forming a crew to rob a bank made up of wrestlers. I'm going to give you some options. Who would be the driver, the mastermind, the crazy guy, the Fall Guy, and the Rat.
Okay, quickly throw those in chat so I don't lose track of them.
Okay.
The driver I'd have to get out... Spark Plug Holly. I'd use the genius for the mastermind.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose can be the crazy guy. Mankind would be the Fall Guy. And whoever was running GTV back in the day would be the Rat.
Okay.
Hey, I kept it in context, okay?
You did. That was great. I liked it. I liked your answer. Omega, if you owned a zoo, what would you call it?
A zoo?
A zoo.
Noah's Arkham.
Only for crazy animals?
It is an animal prison, the more you think about it.
By the way, for the Rat, people went Heyman and Just Joe.
Why isn't Mastermind Heyman?
Because he's not a genius like the genius.
Well, I can't argue that.
Going off of his logic. Alright, I like that for the zoo. Mace, if you owned a bar, what would it be called?
It would be called The Bar.
The Bar?
The Bar. Why? Because, frankly, everybody goes about these absolutely fancy names with gimmicks and everything. No. My bar is called The Bar. We serve alcohol. That's it. No gimmicks. Come in, get drunk, fuck off.
So yeah, so you're not even gonna try puzzles, you know?
No, because here's the thing: like Melbourne CBD has a whole heap of like fancy fucking bars with all these fancy names, fancy gimmicks. None of them is just a bar where you go in, get drunk, and fuck off. It's all about gimmicks and extra shit. But you know, we've got gaming themed bars down here now. You know, or we got ones that are specializing in Asian beer or you know, German outlooks and Irish this. And, no. Bar, alcohol, drunk, fuck off.
And finally, Omega, you are the star of a motivational workout video. What is it called?
Motivational workout video.
Yes.
I don't know what it would be, but for some reason I'm picturing the motivational video playing throughout the entire thing. It's just the Shia LaBeouf do it.
No!
Yeah,
no! God, first you're asking... Look who you're asking about workouts. Jesus Christ.
I know how we started off the show. I know. Apparently this is the best question in recent memory for you.
Can I just name it fucking Move? So when you do an exercise and that's how you motivate. Fucking Move! That's my entire motivational speech. It's like, oh, because you don't want to go get a job and you don't want to, you know, be professional. Fucking Move!
Think we can accept that, Mace?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll accept that. Because it's time to fucking move on out of here. This has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio. We'll be returning next Sunday night again at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. It's the Raw Post Show. Thursday night It's going to be the 3-year show for the Rack, so we're playing a little game called Ask the Rack. Use the hashtag Ask the Rack, give us questions. We'll answer them on the show. If you give us wrestling questions, we'll give you thoughtful answers. If you ask us smart-ass questions, you will get a smart-ass answer, King Kittens. Be prepared. You can send them media at wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet them at wildtalkradio. Use the hashtag AskTheRack. Or you can leave them on Facebook as well. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRD_Rack, Facebook.com/WTRRack. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack, and RackRadioShow.com is the website. And that's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarettebutts and bandanas. Use the hashtag Blame Ride, Blame Rob, and the website is CBRadioLive.com. And as I said, we'll be back next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tim Stein shall be back as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search at Wild Talk Radio Network. Mace.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at TheMaceSing. You can also go to YouTube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where you can take a look at all, I think, 7 of my E3 reaction videos. I have no idea. I disappeared into them, and I just kept fucking making them. So there's a whole heap of content just got put up all at once because I had to fix an error. So head on over there, give them all a watch, because people like my opinions, maybe, and I actually got creative and did editing on, like, 99.9% of them.
Ooh.
I got all fancy.
Fancy. Omega.
If you didn't catch the shameless plugging earlier...
Nope.
It's a boomerang. Here it comes again.
Watch out.
Most of my stuff can be found at youtube.com/TJOmega, where I am in the midst of my MetroCon 2015 coverage, which is voice actors, interviews, panels, big events, highlight reels, and a lot of really fun geek stuff going on. And then I'm still doing all my usual stuff on top of that. So, ton of stuff over there. For everything I can't post on YouTube, it's over at tjomega.org. And the social media stuff is TJ Reviews over on Facebook. And on Twitter, it is TJ Omega.
And if you didn't follow TJ Omega on the Twitter during MetroCon, you're missing out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I had a little toy that found a really big muffin.
Every time I saw a picture, I started to laugh. Hold on.
That was fun to do.
It seemed like it was. I thought you were losing your mind for a minute, but I was like, nope, he's just having a lot of fun. Anyway, we'll see you next Sunday night, and all week long, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, on wildtalkradio.com. Good night, everybody. Welcome to the machine.
Come.